Welcome back to the clubhouse here in the McAdoo studios. Kyle Bailey, now joined by Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. Follow him on Twitter at Chris Coleman TSL. You can follow Tech Sideline on Twitter at Tech Sideline. And I send out every Friday, I send out a text. It's a group text technically to Chris and Will. And I'm like, you guys good for today? And Will says, man, I'm still in Florida today at Disney World, hot and tired, but I'm back next week. How long has he been there?
He's been there. I think he went down last Saturday, and I guess he's coming back this weekend at some point.
Oh man! Yeah. So he's got the whole fam down there.
Yep.
Are they doing? See, I haven't. I should have asked him earlier if they did the, because he's in Orlando. Like, are they doing the Harry Potter theme park?
I have no clue.
Because I feel like if I went back to Orlando, like I'm an unabashed nerd about certain things, you know. And one of those things is like Game of Thrones. The other thing is, my aunt is an English teacher, so every year for every big occasion, birthdays, Christmases, things like that, my aunt bought us copies of the newest Harry Potter books when they were released. So I've read all the Harry Potter books, you know, cover to cover.
Yeah,
I would go as a grown man to the Harry Potter theme park, and I wouldn't hesitate, and I would tell you all about it and how much fun I had.
Yeah.
So I wanted to know if Will went. Did he say anything about it?
He hasn't said anything about it. I know he was at Magic Kingdom one day, but I don't know about the rest.
Oh, yeah. Man. All right. Well,
I've never been, so I don't know a lot about Disney World. Never been.
Well, I haven't been in a while.
It's not an adult theme park like we were talking about last week.
I know. It's something needs to happen there. You know what? As good a place to start as any would be, let's talk some Cruton here, because there are folks out there that like talking about Cruton. And Josh Jackson, I'd like your take on this. We talked to Evan Watkins about it yesterday. I want your take on Josh Jackson.
I think
four-star quarterback, yeah. ESPN, three-star quarterback, Rivals, and 247 from Saline, Michigan. His dad, Fred, coached with Scott Leffler at Michigan. He's got some offers at West Virginia, Boston College,
Northwestern,
you know, and with his senior season still ahead, probably has a lot of more offers coming. So your thoughts on this kid and what you see?
I think he's a very good prospect. I think he would have more offers if he had played his sophomore year of high school. There's some kind of transfer rule up in Michigan. If you transfer high schools, you have to sit out a year.
30-second timeout. Is that weird?
That's the first time I've heard of that. It's certainly not like that in the state of Virginia.
That's what I was going to say, but well, yeah, it's definitely not like that in the state of Virginia, but I'm just thinking, like, I don't know that I've ever heard of that before.
I don't think I've heard of it at the high school level before, but at any rate, he had to sit out his sophomore season, and, you know, that's when recruitments really start for a lot of these players. So nobody knew about him until he had sent out his senior year film in December.
Right.
And at that point, most schools have their board set for the upcoming recruiting class. So I think that's the reason he has fewer offers than everybody else. I think he will rise in the rankings as time goes by. ESPN has him 150th. I think he's got a very high football IQ. He really reminds me of Brian Randle. More advanced passer at the same stage than Randle, simply because passing offenses these days are more advanced than they were back in, you know, 2000 when Randle was being recruited. But he's a little taller, but his running style reminds me of Randle. His arm strength kind of reminds me of Randle. Pretty advanced fundamentally. I think he gets the most out of his arm. I'm really impressed with him. Coach's son. So he grew up
That's always a plus.
Grew up around a big-time program.
Right.
Grew up around the Michigan program.
Now speaking of that, too, I like what you're saying there, but there are a lot of folks out there that follow Tech recruiting that are now wondering, if Michigan comes calling, how big a concern is that?
That'd be a concern.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're right there in the backyard. It's what he grew up with.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, naturally, he probably grew up a Wolverines fan.
I'm sure he did. I mean, he grew up. I mean, his father was the running backs coach at Michigan for 22 seasons, I think.
Yeah.
92 through 2014.
Two,
yeah, with five different head coaches there.
Oh,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
But he was the guy that they'd always keep on their staff, whichever one was hired, until Harbaugh, I guess.
Yeah.
I think he'd stay home. But Michigan already has a commit from a top five pro style quarterback, big time four star top 100 level recruit. I don't know if they want to take two quarterbacks in the same class. And you know the types of offenses that Harbaugh runs. You know, he wants these big 6'5" pocket passers,
right?
The Andrew Luck types. So I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, I also wonder too. You know, being a coach's son and coming from, you know, his dad being a coach and understanding the rigors of recruiting and how insanely frustrating it can be when a kid decommits late in the process.
Yeah.
You know, if he's, again, no, anything could happen if Michigan or some other school came calling, but because he's a coach's son, the likelihood, at least to my mind, of a decommitment probably lessens at that point.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I think so, too. And I think there's probably, you know, since Scott Leffler coached with his dad in Michigan, they know each other. They have a lot of respect for each other. I'm sure they all sat down and had a heart-to-heart And, you know, like you said, his dad knows recruiting. He knows what it is. They were all probably very upfront with each other about, hey, here it is. If he gets a Michigan offer, he's probably going to go there just to let you know.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Loeffler respects that.
Right.
So, yeah, I would expect him to flip if Michigan did offer. But I don't think they will. I don't think we got anything to worry about at this point.
Well, what's interesting too is that, you know, all the Dwayne loss and the hype trains rolling into Blacksburg this summer.
That's right.
You know, and whether or not he plays as a true freshman, we still won't know until the fall. But, you know, is he a 3-year guy, 4-year guy? Nobody really knows. But clearly, what it says to me is Josh Jackson is not at all afraid of competition with Dwayne Lawson.
Yeah, absolutely right. I think if I were Scott Loeffler, I would have recruited Jackson like this. I would have said, look, yeah, we did get a highly touted guy last year. But look, you're highly touted too. ESPN has you 150, which is about what they had Lawson.
Yeah.
Maybe even higher than what they had Lawson.
I think you're right.
Yeah. And Lawson, there's a good chance he'll play this year. So if you come in redshirt for a year, then you're a redshirt freshman when he's a junior. And then if he left a year early, you could be starting as a redshirt sophomore and then have three years to start in your own right. That's how I would be recruiting him if I were Scott Loeffler.
Yeah. I've heard a lot, and part of this is probably and I mean this in the best possible way, but the newly rejuvenated Virginia Tech propaganda machine on Twitter, you know, talking about all the great selling points of,
sure.
of playing in Blacksburg and playing for Virginia Tech and for a Hall of Fame coach and Frank Beamer and so on and so forth. But you're hearing a lot of feedback from people, at least recently, or at least seeing it on Twitter, where prospects are showing up and they're quote-unquote blown away by the facilities and what they're seeing on campus. I mean, maybe it's just rhetoric that we're not used to hearing because it hasn't been out there quite as much in recent years, but what do you make of that?
I think they take them in there to see that indoor practice facility, obviously. And, you know, if you I read the little graphic thing that Hokie Sports released, how you could fit 2 jet airplanes in that thing.
And the Statue of Liberty.
And the Statue of Liberty. And you'd still have 95 feet to spare if you put the Statue of Liberty in there.
Think about that.
That's how big this building is.
Think about that.
And plus there's a lot. Virginia Tech has concept drawings of what they're going to do to the inside of the Merriman Center.
Looks good.
Looks great. And I know they're showing all those concept drawings plus more to these recruits. And they're saying, okay, here's what it's going to look like in a year or two. So I think there's more to sell from a facility standpoint than meets the eye right now, because there's going to be a lot of improvements there over the next couple of years.
Have you heard anything approaching a price tag for that sort of makeover?
I've not heard a price tag. I don't know when it's going to begin. I don't know when it's scheduled to end or anything like that. You know, the thing is, it's not going to require any like structural changes as far as I can tell.
Right.
Except it kind of looks like they're going to knock out the wall in the Hall of Fame room there in the entranceway and have that just be one big open room that's looking out over the practice field with the indoor practice facility. But I don't think there's going to be any major structural changes, so I don't think it's going to be all that expensive.
Probably not.
Relatively speaking,
relative to what
schools spend on all these facilities, yeah.
And certainly relative to the indoor practice. So we're probably talking a couple $1 million,
probably,
which is nothing
to
sneeze at, but in the context of the budget, it is what it is.
Sure.
Chris Coleman, TechSideline.com, here in the McAdoo studios with us. Follow him on Twitter at ChrisColemanTSL. I guess one thing to talk about as well is that Virginia Tech-Purdue, the game time was announced. I thought it was a little bit odd that it was announced today for a game, a non-conference game in West Lafayette.
That is weird.
I thought it was strange that it happened today. I mean, it's not that notable, but 3:30 kick in West Lafayette, Indiana, which I can't think of any other reason I would ever go to West Lafayette, Indiana. Are you going to make you don't make a ton of road trips these days. Are you going to go to that one?
You know, I found it's actually a lot easier for me to work if I watch these road games from home.
Really?
Yeah, it really is. I just work better in my own house, sitting back in my desk, than I do in a press box, you know, with a bunch of other people around. So I probably won't go. I think I'm going to East Carolina this year for the first time.
I plan on going to Greenville. Mm-hmm.
I've always wanted to make that trip.
Yeah, I haven't been there in a long time, so I'm probably going to make that one. And there's a little bit of interest to me. Now, driving to West Lafayette, Indiana is a heck of a haul.
And I bet it is.
It doesn't sound like an especially thrilling road trip.
You know, how long of a drive would that be?
I haven't looked it up yet, but I would have to imagine it's near, what, 10 hours maybe?
I would imagine
you would
something
think,
like
so, 10,
that.
11 hours. I'll look it up during the break here. But, I don't know. Purdue's quarterback just transferred. That news just hit yesterday,
They had two quarterbacks, I think, were both sophomores or maybe rising juniors. And They've both seen playing time, but you don't know which one's going to start and things like that. Well, I guess we know which one's going to start now because the other transferred. And I forget their names already.
It was Danny Elton.
I think it's something like that, something.
Very, very Midwestern name.
Very Midwestern name.
Yeah, I don't know how good, if at all, Purdue will be this year. Do we know if Kevin Sherman's still on staff there? I think he is, right?
No, he went to somewhere else. Maryland?
Really? I did hear that, actually.
Was it Maryland? I know he left after 1 year.
You're right. I did hear that, actually. So never mind. That's not a storyline we
can
even
talk
about.
It might not be Maryland.
Okay.
We can look it up during the break.
We can look that up during the break as well. We'll look up the road trip and where Kevin Sherman is currently employed. he was Tech's wide receivers coach, of course, that departed the program a couple years ago when Frank Beamer made some offensive staff changes. So, yeah, again, if you're even mildly interested in putting that on your calendar right now, Virginia Tech and Purdue will kick at 3:30 p.m. Eastern time. I guess that'll be – is Indiana Central time? No, no, they aren't, right? Because Notre Dame is still in the Eastern time zone.
Are they?
Yeah, I think just barely, right?
I don't know. I don't know.
We need to get on this stuff. I think.
Well, don't most of Notre Dame's games start at like 2:30?
I don't know.
So I always assumed they were Central.
No, I feel like Notre Dame is still barely in the Eastern time zone. South Bend is still Eastern time zone, just by like a hair.
I mean, we don't know what we're talking about.
Like the geography part of it is escaping me, which is fairly embarrassing, so I should probably get on that. So Josh Jackson commits from Michigan. This game starts at 3:30. We're going to look up the road trip to Indiana for anyone who wants to know. Have you done that already?
Kevin Sherman's at Pitt now.
He's at Pitt now. Yes. He's with Narduzzi.
He is.
Look at that.
Yep. Anyway, we're on the fly
Googling. Now we're going to go to break, and Chris Coleman's going to find out whether or not South Bend, Indiana is in the Eastern time zone, because I think that it is just barely. So we'll take a break. Still more to get to with Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. Keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.